Welcome to the after show.
Yes, this is our after show for the collaboration discussion that we had. And, you know, looking back, we're trying to really use these to figure out what it is that we talked about and where we can clarify some things and maybe just have a little more fun with it. So in the spirit of having more fun with it, I mentioned that one of the things that you should never, never, never do is show up at a local brewer with a garbage bag full of hops.
Oh, good
and
Lord, no.
We've heard the story. What was that?
I said, good Lord, no, you don't want to do that.
No. That's the show up at the back door. Would you like to buy these? I picked them off the field. And as I re-listened to what we had spoken about, I mentioned that we've written countless limericks on the subject. So I'd like to start off this little after show with a haiku.
Ooh, a haiku. Nice.
Bags.
Yes.
Yes. I wrote a haiku on garbage bags of hops.
Perfect. Let's hear it.
All righty. Let's get set here. Garbage bag of hops. Get it out of my tap room. Don't ever come back here.
Brilliant.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Groovy, man. I love it.
So with that spirit in mind, this is the kind of stuff we want to give you in the after show. A little more silly.
Yes. Garbage bag of hops. We're going to have to put that on the website. That's awesome.
We will look to treat you to more poetry in the future. We'll try to bring some more art forms into the Hopnology podcast.
Yeah, freeform jazz.
Yep. I will get the clarinet out later.
Oh yeah, no, we don't need that. Tunes. That nobody needs that.
Aw, come on. So, you know, James, one of the things that you brought up last time was the question of collaboration and. What do I think the local appetite is near me? And I said that at the time that I think it's getting better. I think there's some. I mentioned the one beer by me. And then I started doing some more reading after we spoke to try and get a better feel for this. And I pulled open Yankee Brew News, and every region of the country has one of these local rags, which just talks about happenings. And it's a good read. It's a lot of just free advertising for new breweries more than anything else, to be honest. But they do a regional, and for me, a state-specific all through New England, and I was shocked how much collaboration is being pushed there. Breweries working with other breweries and bringing up some... What they don't do is explain why. And I think we got a lot of that flavor when you talked about Common Thread last time. But there's a lot of these, hey, this brewery's partnering with this brewery to make a brown ale. Okay, why'd you need to partner to make the brown ale? I guess would be my question.
Yeah.
The best one by far, though, I mentioned this to you already, is a place up in Boston that feeds some local pigs the spent grain from their brewery and once a year turns them into sausages and feeds those sausages to their brewery customers. Which sounds a little bit like the start of a bad horror movie.
It does, totally, right? Or an X-File.
But oh, yeah. Oh, you're right. Oh, that would I can hear the theme song now.
Uh-huh.
That is such a... To me, that's such a neat trick that goes beyond two breweries collaborating on a beer. It's, we're going to recycle. Not only are we going to recycle and reuse, let's be community conscious there, but let's feed our customers while we're at it. And what a completely great way to integrate with local there. And I smile when I think about it. It's just so silly and so fun.
It is. That's a really cool idea. I love it. It does highlight that, going back to our discussion about how invested in your community are you, and the fact that it says, all right, here's all of our spent grain for a year, and we fed it for a year just to get these sausages. I mean, there's an awesome narrative that could happen around that, and I'd love to see what that narrative actually is, and how well do they, you know, the people involved, how well do they communicate that to their locale? Because that's what it comes down to. If you're going to collaborate, you're doing it, A, to drive business to what you're doing, draw attention to yourself. But you also have this fantastic opportunity to bring, you know, those three points of the triangle together. So it's like, what's the rest of the story? I'd love to hear more about that. Maybe we can find those people and see if they want to chat about it.
Yeah, you know, I'll see what I can do, because that sauce... I was going to call it a sausage party. Let's back off a bit. This is why it's a PG-13 podcast, folks. They actually called it their cabin fever party. But as I look here, it was yesterday. It's mid-February now as we're recording. And they had another one last week where they were doing a sing-along with two local congregations and doing as a fundraiser. So this particular place does a lot of local. Yeah, they would be a good one for us to get in on a conversation.
Yeah, let's just see what they're
doing. A Pink Brutes Day in March, which I know a lot of breweries are doing.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah, let's just see what they have to tell us.
Yeah. And maybe they'll have some sausages to share.
Maybe. Maybe. I'm always up for a nice sausage.
Going badly down the rabbit hole here. Okay.
I saw this morning on the Face Rag, one of our local breweries here, Working Draft, was doing a collaborative brew with somebody, a brewer from Fort Collins, Colorado. And he's in town brewing on their equipment. And, you know, and they're going to do this, you know, back and forth. So this idea of community and collaborating is not just like geographical, you know, neighborhood kind of stuff. It's these two guys are, you know, separated for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles, and they're collaborating. I don't know. I really have no idea how that relates or translates into dollars, other than, you know, hey, it's a cool thing to do. We're going to get some publicity out of it. But I think it does highlight this fact that brewers are, no matter what they say, brewers do have a very strong sense that this idea of community and is absolutely key to their success of certainly their tap room and their small brewery. If you're a giant regional brewer, you're not doing this kind of stuff. But if you're
there's no need for it. Although I'm gonna step back there a little bit. One of my favorite beers, and I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, there's a porter made with sweet potatoes that's done by Two Roads and Evil Twin. And these are two, at least on the East Coast, these are two pretty large groups, breweries. And they are still doing, they have a collaboration, well, you know what? It's a little different. They have a collaboration series going. So that takes the step from a single collaboration into a brand extension almost, if we're going to start getting into marketing terminology, where you've got a large one. And who else? Another one that's very, very big, and my understanding is it's been flying off the shelves, also up here in New England, Hooker Brewing has a collaboration with Dunkin' Donuts. They're doing a Dunkin' Donuts coffee porter. And these bottles have the Dunkin' Donuts orange and white on them. And they, you know, it looks basically like a Dunkin' Donuts mug. But thank goodness it's beer instead. So they're getting into a corporate level co-branding. And that, I would have to think, to your point, has a different purpose in mind than a local, hey, we're doing one beer together.
Yeah, where does collaboration... What do I want to say? At what point does collaboration stop being a community bridge builder and turn into a marketing, a marketing sort of thing, right? Where it's like, hey, look, you know, we're doing something new. We're collaborating with Dunkin' Donuts, really?
No, they're leveraging the Dunkin' Donuts packaging is what they're doing.
They are, and Dunkin' Donuts is leveraging a famous or well-known, you know, brewery to say, hey, we're into beer now too, right? Isn't that cool? And so it's sort of a mutually beneficial arrangement. So this idea of collaboration or even a series of collaborations, how does that, I don't know. Maybe it doesn't matter. I don't know.
I think it matters a little bit, and I do want to take a step back. I misspoke. It was not Thomas Hooker Brewing. It's Harpoon.
Wow,
it's Harpoon
okay.
Brewing doing the Dunkin' Donuts beer.
Sure.
Just gotta be right there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I come back to the question of that I asked earlier. Why are they collaborating in the first place? As a consumer, beyond the just, oh, that's kind of neat, they work together, I'd like to know more about why they felt a need to work together. It could be something, you know, I go back to Common Thread being the example that I love because of how that's grown over the years. Is it something that they've done out of love of being a community and they're getting together and they're doing it because it's become a tradition? Or is there something else going on there? Is it a big brewer helping a new upstart brewer get their foot in the door, which is, you know, the definition of community right there, to your point before? That's if it's a one hand helping the other, then that's a spectacular story. Or is it, you know, is there something else going on there that maybe we don't understand? I just, as I read through all of these things and I see them on the shelves, I don't think that if it's a marketing play only, I don't feel like it's getting across to the consumer properly what they're trying to do.
Perhaps part of it is, well, hey, let's make a donut, you know, coffee porter or whatever it is. And what, Dunkin' Donuts is here. Let's reach out to them and do it. And so I think maybe it could grow organically like that. But frankly, it's probably just because I'm a cynical ass, but, you know, it feels a bit contrived. And then to say that we're doing this as a collaboration. Is part of the collaboration where, hey, we're going to pay for some of the marketing and you guys are going to brew the beer and we're going to do this together. So it becomes less of a collaboration, more of a cost sharing and profit sharing opportunity. I don't know. It feels disingenuous.
At that level, with a global organization like a Dunkin' Donuts, yes, I agree with you. That feels much more like just a marketing spin, no different than, well, anything else you'd see in the supermarket where, what did I see the other day? Ready Whip is now making Reese's Peanut Butter Cup flavored whipped cream.
Right.
You know, that's just, you know, when I'm walking through the milk aisle and I see peanut butter cups, I'm going, hello, what's that again? So that, you know, that's along those lines of, okay, let's try and cross two things together, or, you know, anything in the ice cream aisle that's got all kinds of stuff in it. So on that level, I do agree with you. It's these local guys, and, you know, as I go through all these collaborations I was reading about over this past week, you know, these two local breweries that I've never heard of before working together, unless you're in their area and you know these guys, what is everyone else getting out of this partnership? It may be just for them. It may be just that they're having fun together. And if that's all that it is, then that's natural and organic. I keep using that word. And that's fantastic that it's just two businesses that are enjoying working together.
No, totally.
And doing things a little bit differently. That would be the best case scenario in my mind.
It would.
As a purist.
It would be. And there's nothing wrong with that, to mm-hmm. to build camaraderie in the marketplace, certainly with your competitors, because there's no shortage of beer choices right now. But maybe we're going too far down the rabbit hole. I don't know. That's what the after show's for anyway. But when I think collaboration, to me, it's the idea of collaborating is working together towards a common good. But maybe I'm wrong, which has been known to happen from time to time. What are we getting out of it? We go back, talk about Common Thread. What we're getting out of it is we had brewers and growers, suppliers come together, and industry people donate of their time and their effort to create something that then was a revenue generator for a nonprofit kind of thing. So it's giving back. And that seems collaborative. But I don't know, when I look at just two breweries or three breweries getting together saying, hey, we're all going to brew the same beer because we like to hang out. And we got together, discussed that, yeah, for this special event, we're all three of us going to make one beer together at so-and-so's place. And we're all three of us going to have it on tap. Big deal. To me, that's what I think. I think, who cares? I don't care.
And that really is my point, is I'm not seeing it being used as a marketing lever. And that's the miss, I think. What are they getting out of it? And again, if it's purely the enjoyment of working with other people, then good for them, and that's fantastic. And they should keep on doing it, because that's how you learn, and that's how you get better. But if there is a marketing scheme here, scheme being a very pessimistic word, similar to what goes on with the Dunkin' Donuts beer, which I will say I've had, and it's pretty good.
Well, I think it would have to be when you're dealing with those two kind of calibers of companies. You can't.
Oh yes, because you know there was some sort of a payment made to use the Dunkin' Donuts logo and branding, or there's at least some sort of a profit sharing going on there.
Right.
There's a financial benefit that they're both perceiving will occur.
Yes.
Out of doing this. Whereas when ABC Brewing and Joe Schmo Brewing, that are both in Bumblefuck wherever, get together and put something together, the only person who's going to go, "Oh, cool," is the regular at both of those places.
Right. I don't know. I just, yeah. Like I said, cynical ass James. Whenever I go to a tap room or something and I say, "Hey, collaboration between so and so and so and so," really, who? I don't give two shits about that. Is it a good beer? Meh. Whatever, I guess. I don't know.
Have you, I haven't sampled enough to have an opinion on this, but have you found that they're often not?
What I found is that it's heavy-handed to one brewery or the other.
Okay.
And, you know, there's a brewery here in Madison called Carbon 4, which I think is disgusting. And they... because they're all about hop bombs and over-attenuated everything. Whenever they get involved with another brewery or, like, for instance, they led Common Thread, I think it was last year, to which only brewers were invited. They didn't let anybody else in, I'll mind you. It was gross. Even though this recipe had been decided on by a panel, it's like, oh, God, really? Nasty. And I know people that just wouldn't touch it. Because they knew where it came from. And so there's that aspect too. I don't know. I think for me, it's just because I'm cynical. Because I was like, really? Collaboration for what?
That's the question. I think that's the question we're going back and forth on and not really answering. And, you know, shout out to our brewers out there who are listening. Why are you collaborating? What are you getting out of this? What is the reason behind it? Because speaking as a consumer, I don't see it. I don't see the value. It's and there could be more negative than positive in the sense that I've seen, you know, to the point you just made, I have seen collaborations where I'll say, huh, I like that brewery. I don't particularly like that other one. So I would lean more heavily toward not sampling that.
Yep, totally.
Along those collaboration lines, and it's a little less about formulation. It's a lot less about formulation. So what is your opinion on guest taps? So I'm seeing this more and more where, you know, I'll go to a local brewery, they've got 10 things of theirs and 3 guest taps. And it's one thing if those are ciders or something that the brewery doesn't maintain themselves. But why would a brewery bring in other people's beers to their tap room?
And that's
I'm not sure I understand why this is happening.
And it's super commonplace here in Wisconsin and frankly in the upper Great Lakes states. It's just we see it all the time. And I've always asked myself that too. Our friends at the Vintage here in Madison, they've got guest taps, which is fine. It's typically a beer style they don't make, or to your point, it's a cider or something like that. So I get it. But then there's always that person or dozens of people that get drug along to a craft beer bar and they are Coors Light drinkers. And, you know, bless the Vintage because they refuse to put any of that kind of crap on tap, but they do have it in cans and it will cost you $4. They sell, you know, Miller Lite in cans or bottles, you know, at $4 a pop, which they should. So it's like, okay, we have to have something there for these, you know, people who may not want our beer because we don't want to drive away customers. But at the same time, how do you balance that with we want to push our own beer because that's where our margin is? And I think probably a little bit of it goes back to this being good stewards of your industry, saying, yeah, you know what, we'll put this on tap. We'll put that on tap because, hey, I don't make a gluten-free beer and this guy does and it's really good. Or, yeah, we've got to have something for non-beer drinkers on tap, so let's put a cider on tap or let's put a, you know, whatever. I don't know. And so that's where I would see that. But for people to say, hey, we're going to have, you know, of our 20 taps, we're going to have 6 taps that are all guest beers from our brewing friends, you know, why?
And that's the same question that I'm not understanding it either. So I'm going out this afternoon. I'm going to a brewery I haven't been to before. I'm going out to Walcott, Connecticut, to Shebeen Brewing. And they've got about a dozen on tap that are theirs, but they've got a few others that aren't. And to your point, I'm just looking at their menu. It's a sour, which they don't brew themselves. There's a cider that's local that they don't do ciders. In cans, you're right, they've got some of the other stuff that's not along their normal lines. They've got a couple of guest cans that are similar to some of their beers, but just a little bit different. But as I look at the breweries they're bringing in, they're startups. It's a helping hand situation that I'm looking at here. So yeah, they are, to your point, they're filling a void in their menu. Is a combination of that, I suppose, and helping out the new guy. And you have to assume there's some quid pro quo going on there where something of theirs is on tap at their at the other folks.
Yeah, I would hope so. Well, it sounds like you've got homework to do when you go to this brewery. And
I do.
You can be that guy with your notepad while you're there with your friends saying, Greg, would you just leave it go? But you'd be like, no, I got to do this. And ask some pressing questions. Let's see if we can find out. So what the hell are you thinking? Why is it? And report back.
And you know, I will. And it's interesting. I was getting dressed this morning, as I often do most mornings. Yeah. And there's imagery for you. And I was about to throw on a sweatshirt that I have from another local brewery. And I thought, I'm going somewhere different today. Probably don't want to wear this. Might annoy them that I'm advertising for someone else. But after this collaboration conversation and the fact that they really all are in this together, I wonder if wearing that would actually force a conversation where they'd come to me and say, hey, do you work there, or are you from that area? Because I'm traveling about an hour to go to this place. So now I'm starting to second guess myself, and instead of that, instead of my Taylor Swift t-shirt today, I think I may put on a brewery sweatshirt and wear that when I go.
Yeah, there are several things in that I just don't ever need to hear or think about again. Well, around here, I mean, you can't freaking swing a dead cat and not hit six breweries. So having, I was just thinking, what would I wear? Could I not wear a brewery from somebody else's place into another place? Because it's just the way of life.
It's all you have.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I don't know that it really, around here, it wouldn't mean anything. Nobody pays any attention to that kind of crap. But I don't know, out your place where you're all delicate and have these, you know, refined, you know, New England sensibilities. I don't know, perhaps someone would be injured and you'd have pistols at dawn. I don't know.
I just wonder if there'd be attitude. It's less the sensitive sensibility and more the New Yorker influence coming in. And, you know, hey, you know, this is our place.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know. Probably overthinking it quite a bit.
Well, I'll take your pistol just in case, because...
Oh, of course. Of course. Mm-hmm. All righty. Well, I think that's it for this edition of our after show. Hope you enjoyed. You know the drill. If you're listening to the after show, we thank you for your support. And keep your eyes open and watch your email notifications for the next one.
Yep. Send us info, too. If we're doing it right, if we're doing it wrong, we want to hear and we want to talk about it. And we will call you out. Just saying.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks.